I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. So one of our producers here in the newsroom picked up a book the other day by Canadian author Sachi Cole. It's called One Day We'll All Be Dead and None of This Will Matter. And she thought, well, this seems written especially for our Otherhood podcast hosted by my colleague Rupa Shenoy. And she was onto something, right, Rupa?
Absolutely. I started reading this book and I thought, wow, this is my podcast in a book.
All right. So why is this such a perfect fit for you and Otherhood?
So it's by Canadian Indian author Sachi Cole. And at a very young age, she became a high-profile writer for BuzzFeed, writing about all the things people disagree about, like culture and race and the internet. And she put herself out there and became this kind of Twitter icon where people really responded to her. And then she started getting a lot of hate tweets. And she took 2 weeks off of Twitter and came back and then did this book. And she was even more vulnerable to the world than ever. And I started out by asking her about this really striking scene in the book where she's holding her baby niece, Raisin.
All right, let's have a listen to the rest of that conversation.
She had very pink, peachy skin. And I was looking at how my skin looked against hers, and I had this flash where you think, like, my skin still isn't as good as hers. And it's such a learned thought, something that you're taught from a very early age about white supremacy and white beauty norms and what's considered attractive and what isn't. But what a weird, terrible thing to think while I'm taking care of my little niece.
Yeah, and your niece, not, you're kind of watching someone who's white, who's related to you, like can pass for white, grow up, and you're reacting to things she says. So in the book, you talk about going to India and her reaction when you told her that she and your extended family will be going to India for a wedding. And she says something, right? She has a specific reaction. Tell us that.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have this reaction too, but maybe it scared me more with her because she doesn't look like a brown girl. When we first went to India when I was a kid, I also sort of thought, well, everyone's poor there and it smells bad. And she sort of said the same things when she was about five. And again, all of this is stuff that we consume from other people. It's stuff that we learn. We're not born, you know, you don't come out of the womb and say, ah, I'm a racist. Like, that doesn't happen. But when she said it, it scared me even more because I kept thinking, well, when you go through the world, no one's going to know that you're a brown person. So now you're just some, like, racist kid running your mouth. And, you know, she didn't know better. And, you know, obviously we talked to her. But it's so striking how those things sort of get absorbed into us when we're really young.
Okay, and then you go to India, and can you talk about, you saw a reaction to her, and you watched the reaction to you. Can you contrast those?
Yeah. My family was obsessed with her because, you know, this beautiful little girl that we had, but more importantly, everybody, people we didn't know were obsessed with her because they had never seen blue eyes. And so, you know, they would take her to tourist attractions with her mother and her dad, and people wanted to touch her and hold her and take photos with her because she was this, funnily enough, this kind of exotic beauty in India. And they were really obsessed with her skin. And I get that experience there to some degree because I'm fair-skinned. I have aunts who really admire my looks purely based on the fact that I'm relatively fair to them.
You're also thinking at that time, you know, you grew up being told you're Kashmiri, Brahmin, smart, educated, worthy. And then you get to India and you contrast your privilege there and your privilege in Canada. Can you do that for us?
Yeah. I mean, well, like, no one in Canada cares if you're Brahmin. Like, it's not going to come up. So that sort of privilege doesn't really exist. There is certainly fair skin privilege within modern Canadian society. But I think what I realized is the level to which I'm served. Because in Canada, certainly, I deal with my fair share of racism. I'm still a brown person. I'm still an obviously brown person. I have a brown name. I have a brown last name. You know that I'm not from here. It's very easy to throw that at me. But I still have a kind of privilege because I am fair. And some people can kind of, you know, they can look past it. But when I'm in India, I'm basically acting as a white person when I'm there because of my fairness and because of the privilege that I've been given with that.
There's a quote from your book that this makes me think of. We are deeply afraid of making marginalized voices stronger because we think it makes privileged ones that much weaker. You kind of deal with that on a daily basis, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people in the majority sort of treat everything like a zero-sum game. Like, anybody else getting money means they lose their money. Anybody else getting platform means they lose their platform. And it's that's not how it works in most cases.
So is Canada different than America now, even more so, and how?
Canada, of course, is a little different from the States. I mean, we are still a separate country, but ultimately we are influenced and vice versa by you guys in a very, by the States in a very big way. But we're not better. I think there's this belief that Canadians are better. We're polite. There's no racism here. There's no crime. No one pollutes. Like, it's not true. It's a lie we, in particular, like to tell ourselves to feel superior. But of course, there's incredible racism here. I mean, in Toronto alone, there's the issue of carding black men on the street for no reason. There's an issue of police brutality against black people in the city. Everybody pretends like immigrating to Canada is easy. No, it's not. The government doesn't make it easy. It's not convenient. There's nothing easy about it. But because there's this sheen over it that everybody likes to pretend like we're happy, shiny people, it becomes even harder then to talk about what's actually happening. And I felt this was true with the election in the States, that the one thing you could take from Trump's victory and from the rhetoric that came around his victory and continues to come out of that presidency is that now there's a way to talk about blunt racism and sexism that a lot of people knew that was going on for a long time. There were all these white people after he elected who were like, I didn't know it was this bad. And you talk to a person of color in the States and they'd look at you and say, well, I knew.
But are we moving forward from there?
I mean, apparently not. Honestly, apparently not. I mean, even in Canada, I look at some of the candidates running for the conservative leadership and I'm terrified. And, you know, even with Trudeau, he's not that effective. I mean, he's dangling wokeness in front of us, but I'm not sure to what benefit. So not really. I mean, all I feel right now is nervous.
So have you thought about just like what happens now? Going back to Raisin, you call her Raisin because...
I call her Raisin. Because she's very purple when she was born and hideous.
Like a raisin. Okay.
She'll thank me later.
So you talk about your experience figuring out yourself over a long period of time and how she's going to have to go through that experience now and how it's going to be both easier and harder. What do you think that's going to be like in the next generation of Canada?
Oh, I don't know. It's going to be complicated. I mean, these things are slow burns. So just because I feel like we're talking about racism more now than we were when I was a kid doesn't mean things are going to resolve themselves by the time my niece, for example, is my age. But at the very least, I feel like at least from Raisin, I've written her an entire book about how it's going to go and what she's going to deal with. So hopefully she can use that as a manual, or at least she'll have some protection emotionally.
Thank you so much, Sachi. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
The World's Rupa Shenoy speaking there with author Sachi Cole. Cole's new book is called One Day We'll All Be Dead and None of This Will Matter. Great title, by the way. You can hear more of Rupa and Sachi's conversation in the next episode, out tomorrow, of our podcast, Otherhood. Subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.